Today, if you did a search on the word love on the internet, you would actually be directed to thousands of searches that you could do, directing you to definitions, songs, stories, and even movies that have been written or done on that particular subject. The sad part is, even with all the information available on the subject of love, too many people do not fully understand it, or they don't know how to show proper love to others. Some imagine what love is. Some believe it is a feeling or simply words expressed in a certain way. Now, it is true, love does usually refer to strong feelings, and feelings are very important. But there is a greater love that rises above human emotions, and that love is defined in the Bible. The Bible shows us not only what love is, but also the source of that greater love. And we, here's the good part, we as disciples can have access to that source. There's a power available to us to express that greater love. Turn with me to begin with to John chapter 15, verse 13, where we left off the last time with the last sermon that I gave. And this is a continuation of a three-part series on the subject of love. Today's sermon on a little bit on the shorter side because of the Bible study we'll have later on. But John chapter 15, verse 13, where we left off the last time. Jesus Christ, addressing the disciples here, in verse 13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And this is the greatest love that we can have, to lay down our life for our brother or sister. And Jesus Christ actually fulfilled what he said here and laid down his life for all of mankind, lowered himself down to die for all of us. The question is, how can we, you and I as disciples, have that same kind of attitude and mindset that Jesus Christ had? How can we develop and grow into that kind of love? Well, the answer is through God's Holy Spirit. Please turn now to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatians, has a list of the fruits of the Spirit towards the end of chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Actually, I quoted wrong. It's verses 22 and 23 that we'll be reading. Verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." And a lot of these particular fruits of the Spirit, I've actually given sermons, complete sermons on these particular subjects. Verse 23, "Gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." So we see various fruits of the Spirit listed here in verses 22 and 23. And each one of these fruits are a reflection of God's character. And this can actually be reproduced in us by God's Holy Spirit. And notice, the very first one that tops the list is love. It begins and tops the list. In the two previous sermons that I have given to you, we have seen that God is love. Love is the very foundation of his character. And every aspect of these various fruits of the Spirit are a specific expression of God's love. It's God's love in us that works with us and helps us transform our character. God's love working in us is truly a blessing. The title of today's sermon is Love, a Fruit of the Spirit. Love, a Fruit of the Spirit. Today, let's examine this very vital and most important character trait, that of love. In the sermon today, we will learn how to grow in the fruit of the Spirit of love, developing that love through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when I say power of the Holy Spirit, I'm simply talking about God's help. God's help to help us express the fruit of the Spirit of love. As I mentioned earlier, many do not understand, nor do they express the kind of love the way that God really intends for us to express it. So let's go back now. Turn with me. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's go to Genesis. I remember Mr. Armstrong when I was a young fellow listening to some of his sermons, and so often he would say, let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to Genesis. And that's where we're going to go right now and take a look at this as it pertains to this particular topic of love, a fruit of the Spirit. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1 and actually begin in verse number 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We went through this in the Bible study series in Genesis chapter 1. We talked about this. Verse number 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Now notice the last part of verse number 2. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So here we see God's Spirit comes upon the earth. And it was through God's Spirit, the power of His Spirit, that He created the heavens and recreated the earth. You don't have to turn there, but you can put down in your notes if you'd like to, Job chapter 26, verse 13. Job 26, 13, where it says, by His Spirit He adorned the heavens. By His Spirit He adorned or created the heavens and, of course, the earth. Then we know in verse 26 that He created man in His image. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And then it goes on to say, having dominion over all the fish of the sea and the animals, etc. Verse 27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him, male and female He created them. So God created man and woman in His image, and He actually gave them a measure of this attribute of love when He created them, and also the capacity to extend, enlarge, and enrich love in their life. Then we go on to chapter 2, and we see that God placed man and woman in the Garden of Eden. And what was in the Garden of Eden? Well, there was the tree of life and also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the tree of life represented the life-giving power of God's Spirit. Represented the life-giving power of God's Spirit. Jesus Christ taught that eternal life is available only through God's Spirit. John chapter 6 and verse 33. And Adam and Eve, they had access to this life-giving power in the tree of life. But what did they do? You know the story. We went through this in the Bible study series. They rejected access to the tree of life, listened to Satan through the snake, was tempted, and chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam did not go towards God. He did not go towards progressing towards the perfection of love. And he chose the wrong path. Now, humankind, in general, has the ability and capacity to love. We love our families. We love our mates. We do have that capacity. But unfortunately, as we look on mankind's history, 6,000 years of history, often love has been a misguided, deteriorated, or twisted kind of love and used for wrong means and wrong goals. And unfortunately, Adam and Eve and their descendants lacked access to the active presence of God in their lives because they chose the wrong path. But the good news, there is good news, even though they rejected the path towards eternal life and access to God's, the power of His Spirit. The good news is, the outgoing concern, love, can be developed and can grow in each and every one of us through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to turn there for time's sake, and we'll get into this on the day of Pentecost, but you know in Acts chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit came to the church in the first century A.D., and then the Apostle Peter stood up and gave a very powerful sermon to those that were gathered on that day. And he basically told them that it was because of them, and of course all of the sins of mankind, that Jesus Christ was crucified. And they were convicted into their hearts. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And he answered in verse 38 and gave them a simple formula. Repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And many of them did repent. Many of them did receive the Holy Spirit and had access to God's help, the power of God's Spirit to help them in their lives. And so through that Holy Spirit, we have access to that very power to help us grow and develop love in our lives. God has given us access to that power, and that power does show results. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3 now. Colossians chapter 3. Even though Adam and Eve made a mistake, and all of the history of mankind has been a history of disruption and problems, we do have access to that power, and God can help us to develop the fruit of the Spirit of love in our lives. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, and we will be reading verses 12 through 14. This section of Scripture has a title, and the title of it is Character of the New Man. Character of the New Man. And that's what each and every one of us are trying to do. Develop character in our lives. To grow and develop character. This section has a list of some of the fruits of the Spirit, only it's in a little bit reversed order from what we read in Galatians. Okay, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, who's the elect of God? The ones that have been called out, disciples, you and I. Holy, and holy means set apart, and beloved, put on tender mercies. Notice as I read through these now, you're going to see some of the fruits of the Spirit repeated here. Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Verse number 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. This reflects back to where we started, John 15 and verse 13. Christ laid down his life for each and every one of us, and so should we do as disciples as well. Verse 14, but above all these things, all these good fruits and all these good character qualities that the Apostle Paul has listed here, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Now notice here, there's two words in verse 12 and verse 14. The simple phrase, put on. And what does put on mean? That means to grow in, to develop. To develop these characteristics. To grow in these characteristics, these particular fruits. And then the conclusion that the Apostle Paul comes to here in verse 14. Above all these good character qualities, put on, grow in, develop love, which he says is the bond of perfection, or as some translations put it, binds them all together in perfect unity. In other words, this character quality of love binds all these other fruits together in unity. The glue, if you will, to living a godly life. And the reason it is the glue is because love sums up God's very character. 1 John 4, verse 8. God is love. We turned to there in a previous sermon. Very important character qualities that we are to grow in, to put on in our lives. There's one chapter in the Bible that's devoted to this particular fruit of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 13, known as the love chapter. Turn there with me now. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we will be reading verses 1 through 13, the whole chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, the Apostle Paul, in the beginning of this particular chapter, is addressing some of the problems in the Corinthian church, specifically that some of them were putting other members down, looking at themselves like they were superior because of certain qualities, characteristics that they had, certain talents. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. What he's saying here is even if somebody has a certain talent to be able to speak in different languages and maybe very fluently and maybe very eloquently, if they don't have love, it's just like a bunch of clanging noise. They might have that particular talent, but without love, it means nothing. Verse number 2, and though I have the gift or the talent of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. And some of the brethren, some of the ones in the church, some of the leaders were going around because they did have particular talents of prophecy or, as he says, knowledge in certain areas, understanding mysteries. They didn't have love. Doesn't mean anything. Verse number 3. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So apparently there was a lot of competition in the Corinthian church. And Paul was showing that no matter what kind of talents they thought they had, if they didn't have love, it meant nothing. Love was the greater element that could unify the church. Then continuing on, he goes to describe this great fruit of the Spirit. Verse number 4, love suffers long and is kind. I like the very first part of verse number 4 because within that simple phrase, there's three fruits of the Spirit. Again, reflecting back to Colossians, how love glues all these together. Love suffers long, long-suffering, and is kind, kindness. Does not envy. Love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. And he was hammering it home to some of them in the Corinthian church because they were puffed up. They thought they were greater than other ones and putting others down. Verse number 5, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And that's a very, very fitting conclusion to this particular section, verses 4 through 8, because love is the glue that holds all of the fruits of the Spirit together. God's very character trait. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. In other words, all these particular talents don't mean nothing compared to love. Verse number 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child and I understood as a child and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put childish things away. He's talking about maturity here. You grow from childhood into maturity. And he's equating this now with spiritual maturity. Verse number 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. In verse 13, and now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, and these are three great character qualities. I've given sermons on all three of these. We all want more faith. We want to have faith like Abraham. We're going to talk about him in the Bible study today. We want hope. The hope of the resurrection. The hope of the kingdom of God. We know that this world is going downhill. We see it day by day. We have that hope. We know that God has a purpose and a plan for all of mankind. Great, great doctrines and great elements to give in sermons. But the greatest of these, the last part of 13, is love. It is the one that glues all of it together, the Apostle Paul says. Even alongside faith and hope, love is the greatest. So how then, let's get down to some brass tacks here now. How then do we put on, as the Apostle Paul puts it, how do we put on, grow in, and develop this fruit of the Spirit? Let's talk about some specific ways using the Scriptures. Let's first of all go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And let's look at some ways that we can grow in, put on this fruit of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Dear children, Paul's addressing here, the called out, the elect. Dear children, be imitators of God. Jesus Christ set the example for each and every one of us, and we know from various scriptures that we're to follow in his footsteps, follow in his example. In other words, follow the example of Jesus Christ. Verse number 2, and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Again, this reflects back to where we began, John 15 and verse 13. Greater love has no one than to lay down your life for your brother. And that's what Jesus Christ did. And that's how we can follow in his footsteps, by having that same kind of self-sacrificial love towards our brother. He loved us and gave himself for us, even though we commit sin against him. This word imitators is an interesting word. And I'd like to give you a comment by the Aid to Bible Understanding about this word imitators. Here's what it says. Godly love cannot exist in the person apart from knowledge, meditation, and service of God. Godly love cannot exist in the person apart from knowledge, that's studying God's Word, understanding God's Word, meditation, taking it to heart, applying it in our lives, and service of God towards our fellow man, like Jesus Christ did. Only by this can one become an imitator of God, because God is the source of love. In other words, to boil it down, following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Notice the last verse of chapter 4, verse 32. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Again, all of this reflecting back to where we started, John 15, verse 13. Having love towards one another. You can put down in your notes, we went through this in the last sermon, Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, where Christ said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, raising that particular phrase, love your neighbor, to a higher level of importance. And we talked about that in my previous sermons. The first four commandments connected towards love towards God, our relationship with God, and developing that love. Then the last six commandments connected with our relationship with our brother and developing our relationship with our brother. That was those first two sermons. Christ said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We went through the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan, the story where this poor fellow was beaten to death, almost to death, laying there half naked by the side of the road, and a Levite and a priest who should have taken care of him, ignored him, didn't take care of this fellow. And yet a Samaritan, who the Jews looked down on, he had compassion on this particular fellow and did what was necessary and right for the fellow, and took care of him. We went through that the last time. He really showed what love was, to go above and beyond the call of duty for a person in need. Let's do turn to Matthew chapter 5. Again, we're talking about following the example, the footsteps of Jesus Christ. to be imitators of God, and thus developing this fruit of the Spirit of love. Matthew chapter 5. We touched on this in one of those previous sermons on love, but we're going to look at it from a little different angle this time. John chapter 5, verses 43 through 45. I'm sorry, it's Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 45. That looks better. Verse 43 of Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, I don't know how many of you in the past have looked at that particular scripture and thought, wait a minute, there's a contradiction there. Love your neighbor, but hate your enemy? That was something that the Pharisees spouted out, and they had all their little sayings and their little things that they did, as you know. And that was one of their sayings. Okay, they would justify, they'd reason like this. Yeah, sure, we should love our neighbor, but it's okay to hate your enemy. And Jesus Christ is saying, no, that's not right. I say to you, verse 44, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And verse 44, from a human nature standpoint, is hard to do, especially when you got somebody that's against you, coming at you, persecuting you, whatever it might be. It's hard to have this kind of attitude towards them. But notice what Christ says. He taught us to love our enemies. Notice the words here. Love your enemies, bless, do good, and pray for. Love, bless, do good, and pray for. And this is what he was teaching in so many of the other scriptures, that what we do is showing real love to our fellow man, more than what we say. Sometimes there's just so many words that come out, but it's actually the actions, what we do, that's so important. And what Jesus Christ and what the apostles point out in so many of the scriptures is that we need the extra help of God's Holy Spirit in order to fulfill that type of godly love. We have our human nature fighting against us. When somebody's against us, fighting against us, or whatever might be doing, persecuting, we bristle and we want to go back. And we need God's help, the help of His Holy Spirit to truly love them the way we should. It's to say, to have more of the Spirit and less of the operation of human nature, which tries to pull us in the wrong direction. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. This particular scripture ties into what we just read earlier in Matthew chapter 5. Romans chapter 12 and verse 21. Verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. The Amplified Version, the last part reads like this. Overcome or master evil with good. And again, from a human nature standpoint, that's sometimes hard to do, because too often we want to retaliate or get back at others when they've done us wrong. But this scripture shows us that through the power of God's Holy Spirit, evil can be overcome. We can master evil. Through the teaching of Jesus Christ and the apostles, we begin to understand that we need to show love, even when it's hard. Even when it's hard. When it doesn't seem natural. Or when another person doesn't really appreciate or perhaps rejects what is done for them. We still need to show love. And our human efforts cannot produce the kind of godly love or develop the character of God's love. We need God's help through the power of the Holy Spirit to love our neighbor the way we should. So let's take a look now at what we can do to grow in the Spirit. We have to follow, number one, in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, the imitators of God. But what can we do beyond that? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's look at some specifics here again. Some of the brass tacks on putting on and developing the fruit of the Spirit of love. Here's one thing that we can do. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Some write that this was possibly the last words of the Apostle Paul. He was giving encouragement to Timothy. Timothy was a young minister who was being sent out to preach the gospel message. And Paul was encouraging and trying to give him strength to continue on. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 6. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. The Apostle Paul, to encourage Timothy, was saying, look, I know you're going to be facing times of trial. There's going to be some hard times as you go out there and go to some of these cities to preach. But what you need to do is stir up that Spirit. You've had the hands laid upon you. You've been baptized. You received the Holy Spirit. Stir up that Spirit is what he's saying. Verse number 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and notice, and of love, and of a sound mind. We have access to that power. We can stir up that Spirit. And how do we do that? Our prayer life. Our study life. Asking God. You know, Jesus Christ said, ask and you shall receive. And what he's referring to is the good things to ask for. Not asking for a new car, a new home, you know, all physical things. But if we ask, God, I need your help. I need more of the Holy Spirit. Help me to stir it up so that I can grow. He'll be glad to hear those words. He'd love to give you that help. We can ask. And again, going through these examples, the examples of Jesus Christ, and understanding more is the way that we can stir up the Spirit and use it properly. As the Nelson Study Bible puts it, the Holy Spirit is what gives us the spiritual gifts and empowers us to use them. Here's a quote from the Aid to Bible Understanding that I like. It says this: it is evident that real, properly directed love can only come by seeking and following God's Spirit and the knowledge that comes from His Word. So in other words, seeking after God's Spirit, following God's Word, understanding more, is where proper love comes from. So we stir up the Spirit, asking God for it, digging into His Word. Another way that we can develop, put on this fruit of the Spirit of love, is by doing good to others. Let's go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, I referred to the parable of the Good Samaritan, which he did good works to a fellow that really needed it in his time of distress. Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. This is the section of Scripture where the mother of Zebedee brought her two sons before Jesus Christ, and she asked if one would be able to sit on his right hand and the other to sit on his left hand, and he said, it is not for mine to give. And the disciples that were with them were displeased that the mother had asked for the one to sit on the right hand, and the other to sit on his left hand. And Christ called them together in verse 25 and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. I always like to say that verse 25 is a capsule of 6,000 years of the history of mankind. Mankind wanting to rule over others, all the way going back to history. Kings, presidents, no matter what it is, want to lord it over others, or whatever it might be, corporations. People like to be in charge and have other people under them. And, as he puts it, exercise authority over them. Verse 26, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. That's the true road to go down. You want to be great? Show the quality of service. Verse 27, and whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus Christ was God. He lowered himself down to become a human being, flesh and blood human being, to walk on this earth, to die for each and every one of us. That's what he did. And you know, he showed that in the foot washing ceremony. Just in a couple months from now, we'll be partaking of that at the Passover service. And it amazes me when I think about it, that there he was, God in the flesh. And he had the power of the universe at his fingertips. And he could have looked around at the disciples and said, I'm the one that was God. You guys should be washing my feet. He didn't do that. He got down, lowered himself down, and washed their feet like a slave would do, as an example to each and every one of us, to show the attitude of service. You don't have to turn there, but you can put down your notes for time's sake. Acts chapter 10, verses 36 through 38. Acts chapter 10, verses 36 through 38, where it talks about him when he came into Galilee, full of the Holy Spirit and power. And what did he do? He went about doing good for others and healing others. That's the kind of attitude and service that we should have as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll wind down here now because, as I said, a shorter sermon because we have the Bible study coming right after this. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And verse number 1. This kind of reflects back to what we looked at earlier and how others were puffed up in their knowledge and kind of putting others down. He's addressing the Corinthians here. Verse number 8. Chapter 8, verse number 1. Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't have love, going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it means nothing. Love edifies. This word edifies means to build up, to help others to grow. And that's what love does. And that's what we can be doing as disciples to one another. You know, as we fellowship together and as we worship together on Sabbath services. Build each other up. You know, maybe somebody had a horrible trial that they were going through. Physical, health, whatever it might be. And they need that encouragement. And they need to be built up and edified. And that's what we can do. And that's what love does. The Amplified Version reads like this. Love edifies and builds up and encourages one to grow to his full stature. So, the right kind of love that's a product of the fruit of the Spirit is a building kind of expansive love. And when it's shared with others, it comes to the full. You don't have to turn there, but you can put down in your notes 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, where it says, we love him because he first loved us. To grow in the fruit of the Spirit, we must seek it from God. Fan the flame of the Spirit. Stir it up and grow in the fruit of the Spirit to continue to grow, following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just a couple more scriptures now. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, and that's true of each and every one of us, we're all gaining the years, the numbers keep clicking by, and our bodies wear down, don't they? Our outward man perishes. Yet, the middle of the verse, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Our outward man, our physical life, wears down. But our inward man, the spiritual, continues to grow, should be growing. And we continue in that growth process. We must continue to maintain our relationship with God. If our relationship falters with God, the power of His Holy Spirit is not fully growing in His love that comes from the fruit of that Spirit. One final scripture. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Through whom also we have access by faith. I like that word access because we have access to God's help, God's power through the Holy Spirit. Access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, verse 3, but we also glory in tribulations. And this is, from a human standpoint, this is not easy to do. But we see here, as we read through this section of Scripture, that growth is a step-by-step process. It's a growth process. Not only that, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Again, a growth process. We have to persevere through trials and tribulations, whatever they might be. But that develops character. And then character, hope. Hope of a better thing that God has for us. Hope of the kingdom of God. In verse number 5, now hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. It's the Holy Spirit working in us that helps develop and put on that fruit of the Spirit of love in our lives. Love is a product of the God's love is a product of the Holy Spirit. And God's love is the difference that the Holy Spirit makes in our lives. It helps us do greater works that truly typifies a true disciple. With God's help through the Holy Spirit, we can begin with just a little bit of love. But then we begin to grow, developing that love. Like a mustard seed, just a little bit that continues to grow through His power until we have a whole lot of love working in our lives. God's love will continue to flow in us as we continue to develop our relationship with Him, seeking after Him through His Word and on our knees. So let's build the fruit of the Holy Spirit of love. Start by stirring up the Spirit, following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, His examples that are written for us, being imitators of God, through constant contact with God's Word, and obedience to the commandments that we talked about in the other two sermons, and following Christ so that we can be living examples to others of what love truly is.